Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 26th of August. And I'm recording now at 9:48 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. And, well, I had a lovely family holiday on the beautiful North Devon coast. I'm very glad to be back in London, having just managed to catch the last of the sort of Mediterranean summertime conditions that we had before this blustery weather that we're currently seeing in London set in. Okay, and a lot of things have changed in the markets since I did my last audio on the 14th of this month. At that time, I was mentioning that a number of moving averages were being tested and that we also had some short-term oversold conditions in the global markets. Well, today, just about all stock markets have bounced quite well off those reaction lows that we had seen. And we have a number of short-term overbought conditions. Now, why have markets done so well? Well, I think one of the reasons for that is that the biggest fear earlier in the month was Vladimir Putin's aggression. And it's now of a more controlled form of menace than the tank rumbling form that everyone was fearing earlier on. I think the other factor is that we see once again how an accommodative monetary policy really does overwhelm most of the concerns that investors are experiencing, particularly when we see some easing of previous tensions which were also occurring. Now, the Middle East remains in chaos, but crucially, the prices of crude oil have not only not moved higher, but we've seen a very, very significant correction, and coming back to the point where both the Brent crude and the WTI crude are somewhat oversold. But that certainly has relieved markets, because oil, as I've mentioned for so many decades, spikes in the oil price are a real game changer, and the next one of those game changers is still on hold, and hopefully will remain so for a fairly long time. Now, looking around, I think I'll start with Wall Street here today, which has been in fine form. That Russell 2000, which was near the lower side of a lengthy trading range that extended back into last year, has at least rallied back up into the upper third of that overall pattern. But the most interesting development, in my opinion, aside from new highs, well, we've seen new all-time highs by a good many U.S. indices, and really led by the NASDAQ 100 index. As much as anything else, but the most interesting development, in my opinion, here is the S&P 500 index has finally reached and just slightly exceeded that psychological 2000 milestone, and that's exactly where it closed. Well, 2000.02. at today's close. So what does that mean? Well, I think it has helped to reaffirm the overall bull trend on Wall Street. And if you look at the S&P 500 index, and it's really worth doing, and I will post it here tonight. But that trend remains extremely consistent. In other words, we had another pullback to test the rising 200-day moving average, and there is nothing exceptional about the overall performance here. That's the wrong way to phrase it. I should say that there's nothing inconsistent about the overall performance. It is an exceptional rise, but the consistency is rivetingly clear overall. So that really indicates that the status quo is being maintained. We are somewhat overextended relative to that MA. We are overbought in the short term, as I mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast. And the 2000 level was a widely anticipated target zone, so it's something of a reassessment point, and it'll be very interesting to see how the S&P performs up at this level. And I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't range up here. And I think over the short to potentially medium term, it would not be surprising to see some form of mean reversion again back towards the MA. But the most important thing I can mention is that it's still consistent. And looking around at other stock markets around the world, China has had a good move, which started before I left, started really at the beginning of this month. And we saw a bit of a downward dynamic in here today on China's market. Now, it'll be interesting to see that we had fell by nearly 1% for the Shanghai Composite Index. The Shenzhen Composite Index was down more, but the Shanghai comp was down just over 22 points, bringing it down to 2207. And it'll be interesting to see what it does tomorrow. A follow-through to the downside would suggest that we have spilled over into something of a reaction and consolidation phase overall. But nevertheless, the action for these Chinese indices remains attractive overall. And the valuations are really outstanding. And I'm thinking of everything from the Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, which is at 25,074, to the Shanghai Composite, which I mentioned just a moment ago. Japan was down in here today, a little over half a percentage point. So a short-term overbought, but it's done extremely well, and it's also had the benefit of a soft yen. We're all wondering when that was going to occur, but here's the yen at 104 against the US dollar, and mind you, the US dollar has been quite firm here in recent weeks. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Fed is gradually winding down the quantitative easing program, but it probably owes even more in the short term to the fact that the Russian situation and also the Middle Eastern situation has obviously unnerved investors to a certain extent. And at such times, that usually leads to a concentration of funds in the U.S. greenback. And that is, we've certainly seen a little bit of that. But going back to the Asian markets overall, the India's market remains very, very steady, hitting new all-time highs. We're up at 26,442 for the Sensex 30 index. Magnificent performance overall. How does one play it? Because it's been rivetingly strong, indicating that there's still, well, I've referred to it, what I've referred to in the past as a wall of money that is now earmarked for the Indian stock market. And if you go back, go back 9 months, a year ago, and remember what people were saying, they didn't want to go anywhere near India. So Narendra Modi is, of course, the big game changer there, not to mention his overall electoral majority. And so it's one of my top favorites and picks, as you'll probably recall, for the next 5 years or so. If you're already there, I would be prepared to ride out the next reaction and consolidation, and inevitably we'll see a number of those. India is not going to lose its volatility, although that may be still a little way in the future. If you're interested in going into India for the first time, I would do so somewhat cautiously at this stage and be prepared to average or buy more on following a decent setback. And those are just a healthy part of the overall corrective process that takes place in stock markets. And again, Australia looking interesting, continuing to edge higher here. Most of these Asian Pacific markets still look overall attractive and interesting. The only time to be really careful is, of course, when they become overextended relative to their rising 200-day moving averages. And then we also have to remember over the medium to longer term that when Wall Street finally does break the overall upward trends that we see for all of its indices and moves into either a cyclical, as in reasonably small, short to medium term bearish phase, which will correct some of the overvaluations and create another buying opportunity. I certainly don't expect anything like the 2000 setback or let alone the 2008 setback. But when we do get that next significant corrective phase on Wall Street, that will drag in a lot of these markets, other markets around the globe that are doing extremely well right now. That said, it'll probably have the least effect on China, which has been what we've seen for the most part here so far. A reasonable amount of discoupling there compared to what we see in terms of the relationships of other stock markets to Wall Street. Okay, moving on to government bonds. Well, these yields remain astonishingly low, and at least I'm astonished that they remain so low, although we could attribute a great deal of that to the extremely positive monetary accommodation that we are still seeing. And again, I just emphasize this point. You've heard it from me on a number of occasions, but an accommodative monetary policy, that can outweigh a number of short-term concerns and worries, and medium-term concerns and worries in stock markets, just as we've really been seeing since the second quarter of 2009, right up to the present. And although the quantitative easing is gradually being wound down, that it is still a positive force. And I'm really of the view that we're unlikely to see a quick rise in U.S. short-term interest rates anytime soon. By anytime soon, I mean I don't expect this. Certainly don't expect that during the duration of this year. And I think people who are talking about short-term rates moving up in 2015, in the early part of 2015, I suspect that they're premature, that's probably not going to happen, but we're a long way off from that now. We will see as time elapses. What we also know is that the European Central Bank, run by Super Mario Draghi, is well, it's got no choice but to remain extremely accommodative. Excuse me, and it will certainly do so. And Japan, again, a monetary policy remains extremely accommodative. And we don't have what I would consider a tight monetary policy anywhere. And I think China's monetary policy has been loosened here, is that they would like to see the stock market pick up, particularly if they can keep some of that liquidity away from the property market, which has been their big concern for a long time. So overall, again, summarize here on stock markets. We're overbought here in the short term. Don't be surprised to see some reaction and consolidation. But it's still best to stay with this overall bullish trend without doing anything too silly. I wouldn't want to have leverage in this environment. That said, I have a little bit in some small trading positions, but my main investment portfolios, I'm not using any leverage in those. I'm although bonds have done well, and bond bulls are saying that the bears have all been wrong, and that's partially correct. But if you take a medium to longer term view on this, I maintain that the bond yields are at unsustainably low levels. Now, Wall Street's government bond yields, I think, have been helped by the fact that when you see Germany under 1% yield there, the Japan 10 years under 1%, that international money has been moving into the U.S. treasuries, in addition to the Fed's own buying here recently. And if that helps to keep interest rates low over the lengthy medium term, that will be a good background cushion for the U.S. and other global stock markets. Okay. What else is going on here? Well, I haven't got my feet entirely back under the desk in terms of being fully aware of what's taking place in all of the various markets. But I would say, first, precious metals oversold here in the short term. I would say on the U.S. grains and beans also oversold, but the crop factors have been extremely attractive, and that's a very, very favorable factor here overall. Mining shares, well, it's a bit of a struggle here. Some of the better golds are doing reasonably well, and I suspect that's likely to continue, and I think the big heavyweights remain medium to longer term recovery candidates, should be good performers, I think, over the lengthy medium term. Among currencies, the U.S. dollar is firm. The euro is soft in here at 1.3168 against the dollar here today. The U.S. dollar index is up to 82.667, and that's been a strong performance over the last couple of months. And what else to mention? I think that's industrial metals. Well, in various stages of an extremely slow, rangy sort of recovery process overall. Okay, I don't want to run on too long for this. So again, let's repeat that it's good to be back, and all the very best to all of you.